was incumbent on them to find someone, a guide, who will lead them to the promised land. They were lucky to find a Canadian trapper named Carbonneau, but the team was more interested in his Indian wife, a woman we've come to know as Sakajawiwa, but I guess these days they call her Sakagawiya. She was probably 17 or 18 years old. She recently had given birth to a baby, boy, John Baptiste. They were interested in her because she was of the Shoshone Nation. She grew up in the upper Missouri region in Idaho and had been captured and brought to North Dakota. And she had explored that region quite a bit. She spoke the language, and she also knew how to survive in the wilds. In the journals that Lewis and Clark kept, they tell often of her actions that literally saved the expedition on many occasions. She was able to find food, not only for the people, but for also the animals. But it was mainly as they were about to cross over the Rockies, they needed horses. People were worn out. They met a band of Shoshone Indians. And behold, the chief of that band was her long-lost brother, from whom she had been taken away. So she was able to negotiate a good terms with them, get horses, get all the things they needed so that they were able to climb over the Rockies on the way to Pacific. All of us are on a journey through life, aren't we? Some of us are running, some of us are strolling along, others of us are crawling along, I guess. Some of us are skipping and sauntering, yet we are headed somewhere. We're going somewhere. And we need to know whether we are on the right path, whether we are going to the goal that is set before us. And how do we know that we are being headed in the right place? The sixth phrase of the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one," or the evil, addresses this very question of the direction of our life. Like Lewis and Clark, the first thing that we need to do about this journey called life is to make sure that we have a guide who can take us to the place where we need to go. After you've chosen that guide, we want to tell them, "Please don't get us lost." And we say that because we trust our guide, because without the guide, we may go into a place where there is no food. Without a guide, we may face dangers that none can protect us from. But when we say, "Please don't get us lost," we're telling them, "We trust you. We know that you've been there before. You know what's out there. You know the dangers. You know the opportunities. You know what we need to face. You know what we can handle. We trust you. Please take us there. Do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one." It's an expression of our faith, our trust, our confidence that the divine guide that we are following will indeed take us in the right direction to the place where we need to go. When we pray this prayer, we're saying, "Lord, we trust you to guide us because you're the only one who knows where we need to be today." It is a prayer of confidence and trust of each pilgrim, each member here and of a church that gathers together. "Son," ordered the father, "don't swim in the canal today." "Okay, Dad," he answered. But later that day, he came back home carrying in a wet swimming suit. Where have you been? Demanded the dad. Swimming the canal, answered the boy. Didn't I tell you not to swim in the canal? Yes, sir, he said. Well, why did you do that? Well, Dad, I had my swimming suit with me and I couldn't resist the temptation. Well, why did you take your swimming suit with you when I told you not to go swimming? Well, so I'd be prepared in case I was tempted, he said. We are on a journey, but it is so like us to get off the track. We are so easily distracted. There are so many things that can pull us out of this road we are on. We have this tendency to fall to temptations, don't we? So when we pray, lead us not into temptation, we're asking God, do not permit us, oh God, to go into temptation so that we fall. We're asking God to hold us so that we may stay on the path that we need to take. We are asking God to help us so that we won't fall into our self-destructive mode of hurting ourselves and those around us. However, trials do come. Temptations are out there. The devil, as our song said, the world is full of devil trying to make us fall. Job was sorely tested by Satan, the accuser. And the Bible tells us that Satan was given permission by God to test Job. Especially during the Holy Week coming up, we often find that our disciples are tested and tried. Jesus warned Peter, Satan is going to sift you like wheat. But I pray for you that your faith may not fall. Jesus doesn't say that there will be no trials. Jesus knows full well because he himself faced trials and temptations that we all do. As the Union Pacific Railroad was being constructed, an elaborate trestle bridge was built across a large canyon in the west. The builder wanted to test it, so he loaded a train with enough extra cars and equipment to double its normal payload. The train was then driven to the middle of the bridge, where it stayed for an entire day. One of the workers asked, "Are you trying to break this bridge?" "No," the builder said. "I'm trying to prove that this bridge won't break." Remember the story of Ulysses? He's on this ship, trying to make his way back home. He knows that he has to pass by the Isles of the Sirens, those beautiful voices singing out, inviting them to stay and to enjoy their life. Yet, if ships go by the island, they hit the ragged, rugged coastline, are shipwrecked, never to see their home or their loved ones again. So Ulysses commanded that his men put wax in their ears and tie themselves to the mast so that they could not hear, but he wanted to hear the siren song, so he asked his men to tie him to the mast as the ship was passing by the isle. The voice, he says, almost drove him crazy. He tried his best to take off the chain so that he could go to the island. He commanded his men to untie me, but the men could not hear him. The ship was safely able to pass by. There are so many voices crying out to us. Voices that tell us how to live, what we need to do. Sometimes these voices are deafening. Sometimes they are very sweet and enticing, as they were for Jesus, for Ulysses. We sometimes think that the voice of Satan must be hissing sound like a snake. But usually in the Bible, it is not like that. It is more like the singing of the sirens. Turn those stones into bread, Jesus. There is no need for you to be hungry. There is no need for anyone to be hungry. Why don't you feed the people? They'll make you into their hero, their savior. Why don't you use some of your powers that you have? God won't mind sharing his power. People need you. People need to see your miracles so they can believe. You should have the world in the palm of your hands if you do that. Then you'll be the true savior. People will flock to you. But Jesus will resist these songs, and he will hear another song of God. We cannot live on bread alone. Worship the Lord your God with all your heart. Do not put the Lord your God to test. What intrigues me in verse 4 is this: when the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. Jesus, it seems, was constantly being tested by God, by Satan, by the world. I want to take a brief look at the third temptation. Third temptation, we usually think of this as Jesus being testing God's trust, Satan telling him to jump off the mountain so that the angels will come and bear you up. But for me, the real meaning of this temptation is that we want to take a shortcut. We want God to provide the answer. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to have pain. We don't want to go through the everything. Why can't God solve our problem for us? We want to say. For Jesus, he trusted God and was willing to go through the suffering, endure it, so that in the end, God will resurrect him. But for us, this temptation is a temptation not to trust God who is already here. The Spirit is here. God's presence is here. The temptation for us is to think that we can do it on our own or to somehow expect some miracle to happen and that our problems will go away. We are never alone in the wilderness, just as Jesus was not by himself. We will face the trials of life, but if we endure, if we trust God, then we will come through that trial, that testing, refined, better people, better understanding of where we are today. They tell us that one of the healthiest things that can happen to the ponderosa pine forest is to have a forest fire every 5 to 20 years. Without a fire, two things happen that can ultimately destroy the entire forest. A healthy ponderosa forest is made of widely spaced fire-resistant trees. Michael Parfit says, one of the rangers, with overprotection, young trees and competing species make a flammable understory so shady that ponderosa seedlings cannot grow. New ponderosa stop growing. And secondly, dead wood and needles and cones pile up so high and thick that once there is a fire, the fire would grow so big they will destroy not just the bottom, but also climb up to the crown of the trees, then jump from tree to tree, killing the trees and even the root system. Such a fire ruins a forest ecosystem and can completely destroy it for centuries. So as odd it may seem, ponderosa forests need fire in order to be healthy and viable. Bible reminds us that in life, in our journey of life, there will be struggles, there will be testing, there will be trials, and there will even be temptations. but these are here so that we will learn to trust our divine guide, that we will learn to become all that God wants us to be, refining the fire so that our gold may show throughout. This week, we can promise that we will trust this divine guide who speaks to us, who guides us in our journey of life. This week, we will trust that God is at work in our life today. You might seem that it's dark. It may seem that we're not quite sure where we're headed. But know that God is with us. The Spirit is working within and without us to take us to place so that we may become all that God wants us to be, so that we may do all to make this world into God's kingdom. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.